There are some people who are saying that the church is going to go underground in the years ahead. As far as I know, we're supposed to be on top, raised up in newness of life, and seated in the heavens with Christ. And I don't know that we should be secluded. I think that we should be included. I think that we should be in the world and not of it. That's what Jesus said. So as far as I'm concerned, my teaching to you under the anointing of the Holy Spirit is going to be that the church is triumphant in this world in order to fulfill God's plans. His love and his heart for the lost, for this whole world, is to present Jesus Christ through us. So, praise God. I want to teach you these things today. I want to, because we are doing some revisiting on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, I believe it's important that you understand the Holy Spirit more. Because of the gifts are of the Holy Spirit. They're not distinct from, separate from. They are of Holy Spirit. I want to speak to you about being born of the Spirit, seeing the kingdom of God, being filled with the Spirit, understanding the attributes of God that are equal to the attributes of Holy Spirit, and talk to you about some of the categories of what we call the gifts of the Spirit and the manifestations and what they really mean. So let me begin with this one scripture from Matthew 11, verse 3 through 5. John the Baptist was in prison, and he heard about Jesus. And Jesus and John the Baptist were related. They were cousins. John was in prison at the time. And he asked this question. He said, are you the one, the coming one, or should we look for another? It was kind of a little bit of a sarcastic or tongue-in-cheek question, because John was languishing in prison, and Jesus was busy taking care of the kingdom. But the statement that Jesus made is what I want you to pay attention to. Jesus answered and said, go tell John the things which you hear and see. And the things were these. The blind see, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Now, there's two things that are connected here. The one is the preaching of the gospel. The other is the power of the gospel. There is no purpose for the gospel to be divorced from the power. These go hand in glove. We cannot separate them. There have been teachings throughout the history of the church that have dumbed down and discredited just eliminated the work of the Holy Spirit in gifts and signs and wonders, and have taught that things have ceased and have passed away, that the gifts of the Spirit no longer function in the church. I don't know how many of you have been taught that or heard about that or been questioning about it. And the truth of the matter is that teaching arose not from doctrine but from lack of experience. When you no longer experience things, you begin to interpret the scriptures in light of your experience versus letting scripture teach you what your experience should be. And there was a time when in the church when we started to see that the gifts of the Spirit be discontinued, not because the Holy Spirit wasn't there. In order for the gifts to be discontinued, the Holy Spirit would have to leave. He'd have to leave us. The purpose of the gifts of the Spirit is ongoing until the church is complete, mature, and that's somewhere out in the distance yet. We are not there, but we need Holy Spirit to continue to manifest the gifts. So let's go now to take a look at 1 Corinthians 12 again. Last week, when in your house churches, you were looking at gifts of the Spirit and filling out questionnaires to help you locate your propensity towards certain gifts. And that's a good start, again, to kind of, you know, boost us into the activity of flowing with the Holy Spirit. So here's what we want to say. Let me read just a couple of verses. I want to read verse 1. Now, concerning spiritual, the word gifts does not appear in the original Greek. That was added by translators to help understanding. But the reality is the original teaching of Paul says, let me explain to you spiritual things, spirituals, things that come from the Spirit. And he says, I don't want you to be ignorant. You know that you were once Gentiles carried over by these dumb spirits of the world, and you were influenced by them, but no longer, that no man speaking by the Spirit can call Jesus Christ accursed, because there were people at the time who were cursing Christ. Not that they don't do it today. At the same time, he says, and nobody can call Jesus Christ Lord except by the Holy Spirit, meaning when the Holy Spirit comes to you and reveals Christ to you, then you can call him Lord. Nobody can call him Lord until the Holy Spirit comes to us, enlightens him, enlightens the individual about who Jesus is. And then as many as receive him, when they are enlightened by him, to them he gives the right to become the sons of God. That we call rebirth. We are born of the Spirit at that moment. So that's why it's so important to understand these things. That this essentially is the life that we have with God. Verse 7 says this, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of everybody. Manifestation of the Spirit is given to everyone. Put your finger on your heart and say, that's me. That's me. That's me. God is going to manifest himself in me and through me. Not just in teaching, talking to people, but in demonstration of what Jesus said to John. He said, go tell John that the dead are raised, the lepers are cleaned, the sick are healed, and the gospel is preached. You don't have one without the other. Today there's an absence, a drought of power of the Holy Spirit in the world. An absolute drought. We are contending with the world's philosophies by just talking to them, which is good. But we can never talk to the world on the level of the world. If you start to answer the world on the level of the world, you're missing your opportunity to speak to them from heaven. Secondly, if you don't wait on the Holy Spirit to manifest through you some supernatural expression to them, you're missing that. Every opportunity to speak and minister to people should include a demonstration of some type of the power of God, either in knowledge or in power, healing or whatever. It could be that God just gives you a word to that person that comes from heaven and not from your own soul. It's so absolutely vital today. Do you remember the woman at the well when Jesus began to read her mail and told her about her own history, John chapter 4, that she'd had five husbands? He knew that supernaturally. Then what did she do? She ran into the village and shouted to everybody, come see a man who told me everything about my life. It only takes one miracle to attract a crowd. You hear what I'm saying to you? You can be the person that will attract a crowd because the Holy Spirit will use you if you're willing. So, these gifts we want to talk about are manifestations of the Holy Spirit and not of us. They come through the presence of Holy Spirit in us and are made visible to be seen and to be heard to those either in the body of Christ or those who are in the world. So let's take a look at how this transpires. First of all, and I know you know these things, so I hope you don't think I'm demeaning you to go over them again. But the very first thing that happens to us is that we are born of the Spirit. Unless a man or a woman is born of the Spirit of God, John chapter 3, that person can neither see nor enter the kingdom of heaven. It is impossible for people in darkness, and everybody who has not seen the light of Christ, everybody is in darkness until They are born of the Spirit. Then the darkness flees and they can see. And that means not just see physically with physical eyes, but perceive and understand the kingdom of God. And second, we enter into the kingdom of God, which is a separate entity from the world. We exist in the world, but we're not of it. We are of the kingdom of God. Now, after Jesus left the earth, he had promised the believers, if they would wait, be patient, that the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit, would come to them. And in Acts chapter 2, we know this. And I want to make this clear. You do not have the power of the Holy Spirit when you are born again. You are just born again. You get the power after you're born again, and the Holy Spirit does a second work. Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had fully come and they were all together in one place, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire and sat on each of them. So there was a coming upon the believers, okay, upon them. And then they were, verse 4, filled with the Holy Spirit. And then they began to speak in tongues. So the Holy Spirit will come upon and then fill. And it's the filling of the Holy Spirit, not just the rebirth, but the filling of the Spirit. The rebirth is the actual regeneration of your spirit from death to life. The spirit of man is dead to God through sin until it's born again of the Spirit of God, enters into the perception of the kingdom, the understanding, and then is filled with the Spirit, and then the supernatural powers of God begin to work. That's what Jesus said. He said, you remain in Jerusalem until you receive the Holy Spirit and receive power from heaven. So here we are in this world today, hearing all this disagreement and chaos and pronouncements about the future and the corruption that's going on and the absolute destruction all about us and pressure put upon the church to huddle in tinier masses all the time until they finally get their way and put an end to our gathering altogether. In the state of California, the governor has issued an edict that the Christian cannot even meet in a home. That's a complete affront to our Constitution, to the First and Second Amendments. Our ability to gather, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and freedom of assembly. It's not going to happen, church. We're going to take the gospel of Christ to the world. The lost need Jesus. I don't care how many people right now are rioting and angry and hurt and all. I was a rioting, angry person before I got saved. I was a romping, stomping drunk. Yes, I was. My wife can attest to that. I was of the world. I know what it's like to be transferred from that type of life into the one that I now have. Quelling all the anger and bitterness and resentment and rejection and disillusionment that was in my life, which is in the life of the people in this world. People don't riot for no reason. They might be paid to riot, but down underneath, there's reasons in the hearts of people that they do the things and only God can touch them. And I can't get angry with them. I have to have compassion on them. And I need to have not only a word, but I need a demonstration of the Holy Spirit to touch them. Don't you want that? Jesus hardly ever answered people according to the questions they asked. He answered people according to what heaven had to say. You have to hear what heaven has to say to people. Like Jesus said to that woman at the well, you've had 5 husbands. I know why you're here all by yourself at midday. God is going to give you revelations like that through the Holy Spirit in you. Things like this are going to happen again. Even those who make decisions about controlling people out of fear, God's going to deal with their fears. He's going to heal this nation of this virus. It's going to end. I'm not making a wild statement. What sickness can Jesus not heal? Right? Praise God. I want you to know that the Holy Spirit is God. He is God. Let me just review some things with you. Number one, according to Psalm 139, verse 7 through 10, God is omnipresent, and therefore the Holy Spirit is omnipresent. Wherever God is, Holy Spirit is. You cannot take and separate the persons from one another in such a way that they all can't be together at the same time. The Holy Spirit, God, and Jesus. David cries out, "Where can I go from your presence? Heaven? Hell? Where? You're everywhere." And so the Holy Spirit is not only here, but he's everywhere. He's not only in us, but with us. He's not just here with us, but he's out there too in this world right now. There isn't any place he can't be. No place too dark. No place too hidden. No place too secret. No place. He's present. Second, he's omnipotent. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2 says that the Holy Spirit was hovering over the waters when God, the Father, and the Son together were creating all of creation. So he was present. In fact, the Father was the one who has creation in his heart. Jesus is the spoken word of creation, and the Holy Spirit is the empowerment of creation. Everything done by the Spirit. You follow this? Please. So he's not only everywhere, omnipresent, he's omnipotent with all power. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 4, he said, "When I came to you, I didn't just come to you with words, but I came to you with a demonstration of the power of God." And he's omniscient, third. He knows everything. This bothers me sometimes. Does it bother you? Some people ask questions, "Can the devil know your thoughts?" It's not the devil I'm worried about. It's the fact that God knows my thoughts. He knows everything. If he knows the number of hairs on my head, well, it's an easier job for him now than it used to be. Josh, tell me about it. What does he not know? What does he not know? He knows what's in my heart before I speak it. Why? He's dwelling at me right now. Isn't it wonderful that he knows everything? That's why he knows everything about the lost and what they need. And he's such a lover of their souls. He can speak to them out of his knowledge about them. Omniscient, he knows everything. 1 Corinthians 2, 11 and 12. What can we know about the things of God except by the Spirit of God? The Holy Spirit reveals the things of God, the Father, and the Son to us. They're revealed spirit to spirit. That's why people in the world cannot comprehend truths about God, because their spirits are not alive to God yet. But when they're born again, the light bulb turns on and they move from darkness to light. And now they can hear things that they didn't comprehend before, and they can understand them. Praise God. Hallelujah. Fourth thing about the Holy Spirit is eternal. Hebrews 9:14 says that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead by the Holy Spirit. Raised by the eternal Spirit, it says specifically, so that he could enter to the heavens with his blood. And I think you realize that not only did his blood was shed at the cross, but it cleansed the heavenly tabernacle. He took it up into the heavens with him. So God, Jesus, they're synonymous. And I'll just give you one more scripture to prove that. They're one with the other. Acts chapter 5. Love you guys. Are you getting this? I want you to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Those who know the Lord will be strong and courageous and do great exploits. The more you know God, the more powerful you become, because his power becomes revealed in you, to you, and you are able to function out of that truth. It's not you. I believe most Christians struggle thinking, I've got to do something here. I've got to really try. No. You yield. We heard that word earlier this morning. You yield to the presence of God. I think I need to say this to you. There are things that happen because you agree with the Holy Spirit, even though you cannot see the end result. For example, in John chapter 2, when Jesus was at the wedding in Cana, they ran out of the good wine. And so people went to Mary, Jesus' mother, and said, they've run out of wine. And so she goes to Jesus. She said, they ran out of wine, Jesus, what can you do? He says, okay. So he says, go fill up these big water pots, these big ones, huge. They held as much as 50 gallons altogether of water. And he says, go fill them with water. And then he says, tell the steward to pour them out. When did the water become wine? It's a good question, isn't it? Was it wine in the pot or when it began to be poured out? It had to be poured to be wine. If they just left it there, nobody could tell whether it was water or wine. The act, come on, say act. The act revealed the supernatural. The minute they began to do what Jesus said to do, it happened. That's where we miss it sometimes. Oftentimes, when I prophesy, all I have is a couple of thoughts or a word. You don't get the whole thing all at once. Sometimes you'll be told to do something, you would wonder, well, that seems strange. Why should I do that? And you begin to argue with God. And when you do that, you miss it. I remember this one outstanding time. Andre and I and the boys were on vacation in Cape Cod. And Jason got so sick. He was delirious. He was hallucinating. His fever was, I forgot what, it was extremely high. And he was lying in bed. And so either you or one of the friends we had said, you need to go in and see Jason. He's delirious with a fever. So I said, okay. So as I was walking down the hallway to the bedroom, I said, Lord, what am I supposed to do? Pray like I normally do, and you lay my hands on him, which is what we commonly think to do, isn't it? So I opened the door, and I looked inside, and his head was going back and forth like this. And God said to me, back out, shut the door. Back out, shut the door. Oh, I thought I was supposed to. He said, back out, shut the door. Oh, well, aren't I supposed to back out, shut the door? I said, okay. So I backed out and shut the door. I turned to Andrea and she said, aren't you going to go in to pray? I said, no, the Lord said, back out, shut the door. And then I realized, oh, shut the door on that sickness. Shut the door on the fever. Shut it down. Don't bother to go in there and look at him. He's okay, the Holy Spirit said. I'm healing him. So, just one example. You guys are going to step into these things if you become more sensitive to the Holy Spirit in you and obey his simple words. Oh, yeah, Jason was healed. Within the hour, he was up, wanted to go out and play. Do not be afraid to step out with God. Fear not stepping out with God. I'd rather be a fool for Jesus than a failure for him. Do you hear that? I'd rather make mistakes in trying to follow God than miss him when he wanted to do something wonderful. Don't think, listen. Obedience comes from hearing, not thinking. Do you get that? I hope you remember that illustration, because God is going to do something like that with you. Oh, it's better to succeed with God than to never, ever have walked with him. Do not spend a wasted life. Where was I? Oh, I said Acts 5. This was in the early church, was coming together, and there was a couple of people, Ananias and Sapphira. And they pretended that they sold some property and that they were giving the whole amount of the property to the apostles so that it could be distributed, the worth of the property could be distributed to those who were in need. And it was revealed to Peter that they were holding back some of the money. This is the, excuse me, omniscience of God revealing a truth about these two people. And so they were questioned, first the husband, then the wife. Did you not agree to sell the property for such and such? He said, yeah. Then why did you, and he says this, lie to the Holy Spirit? Wow, there's a deep teaching here. Meaning, not only did they lie to the apostles, but to the Spirit of God in them, in the apostles, in the rest of the believers. When we deal with each other, we're dealing not only with flesh and blood. Peter says, you have not lied just to men. Then he adds this, but to God. So the connection between the Holy Spirit and God is evident that God and the Holy Spirit are one. I could almost stay here and teach more on this. Do you realize how much God hates deception and lies? Eve was deceived. That was the first act of Satan against mankind, to deceive. So when we speak to each other, we should speak the truth in love all the time. I must speak to you in truth because in you is God in the Holy Spirit. And when I speak to you, I have to speak truth because the Spirit of God is in you. Let me cover quickly the categories of the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. We'll rush back to 1 Corinthians 12. Verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of the whole body. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another the same Spirit, or faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So, here's where we sometimes have trouble. Do I get a gift with the Holy Spirit, or am I just getting the Holy Spirit? Does he give me a gift for me to use, or what's going on here? Well, the big gift is the Holy Spirit. Because you got the Holy Spirit when you received the baptism of the Spirit. Not only were you born of the Spirit, you received his fullness that came upon you and filled you, and that's why we're told to be continuously filled with the Spirit. And then, because the Spirit is in you, he manifests through you his supernatural powers, which can be called gifts, charisma, gifts, anointed, supernatural, through you. Do you have the gift? Yes and no. Do you own the gift? Yes and no. Because without the Holy Spirit, you can't function. But it's okay to refer to the fact that you have functioned in a gift. I hope this makes sense to you. Because for one thing, we are not required to function in a gift without the Holy Spirit. Like, here, you've got this gift, use it whenever. No, you use it under the influence and guidance of the Holy Spirit. You might like to think, like I have, well, if these gifts in us, why can't we just use them all the time? Because then we would use them all the time and not God. And God wants to work in us and through us by his guidance in us. So, the three categories. The first category we'll call supernatural illumination, which are words of wisdom, words of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. These come from the omniscience of God. He knows all these things. The Holy Spirit knows these things. And the discerning of spirits, the third one in that category, is not the gift of discernment. It is the gift of discerning of spirits. What spirit is at work in any condition and situation? You have three sources: God by the Holy Spirit, man by his human spirit, the enemy, Satan, and demons, who are spirit. Which one is at work in any given situation? And without that, you can be fooled. You can be fooled in prophecy. You can be fooled in activity. People could be lying. The gift of the Holy Spirit, discerning of spirits, is essential for the safety and protection of the church. Then you have supernatural power gifts. Gifts of healings, more than one type of healing. Gifts of miracles, more than one type of miracle. And gifts of faith. And that can include all kinds of responses to do things that God wants us to do. It's not just faith, normal daily faith, based upon our trust in God and his general word, but a supernatural gift of faith. Let me just give you a quick example of how that would work. God could say to you, there's a river that you have to cross. It's flooded and there's no access. But God says to you, step out. Now, that's not a natural gift of faith. If you don't hear that rhema word, that specific word that God says, step out, then you got no business putting your foot in that river. But if you hear one of those quickening words of God to activate supernatural faith, because you're not just going to cross a shallow river, you're going to cross a raging river, then you step out. At that moment, your gift of faith also activates a miracle, because you are going against the law of nature. Let's put it that way. Whereas you should sink, you don't. But you could do it because you heard it. Now, who acted in that respect? Peter. The miracle of Peter walking on the water came through a word that gave him supernatural faith to get out of the boat. Do you understand the difference? Now, you cannot say, well, you know, Peter walked on the water. I can too. I see it in the word. No, don't do that. You'll drown. Follow? So there may be things that God will bring you into where you operate in that supernatural gift. Then there are inspirational gifts: prophecy, tongues, and interpretation. Those three inspire people. Whenever you get a bummer downer prophecy, it's usually not from God. Because the purposes of prophecy is edification, exhortation, and comfort. Edification, to build you up; comfort, to cheer you up. Those are the reasons to build you up. That's when you find that prophecy is really effective. All of these things come by the Holy Spirit. What else can I tell you this morning? I have a couple other thoughts here. I'd like to kind of summarize four things. One, these spirituals are manifestations of the Spirit and not of you. To manifest is to reveal, to expose, to demonstrate. And so there's a demonstration of the presence of God in you, through you. And that gives him glory. Second, do we really possess these gifts? Yes and no. Because God has chosen you to operate in them. They are given. And the Greek word there is didumai, given to you to function in by the Holy Spirit. But the real gift is the Holy Spirit. And without them, without him, you could do nothing. Third, it requires divine cooperation. And the more you are comfortable with the presence of the Spirit of God in you, the more you will cooperate with him and you won't be confused. Is this me, God? Is this the enemy? What's going on? The more sensitive you are to Holy Spirit, the more you know his indwelling presence, the more it will be easy for you to function. Fourth, the core of this whole thing is that God longs to reveal himself to everybody. First of all, to the church. More and more, he wants to be known in the body of Christ through one another. When somebody ministers to us, even as you gals and guys this morning were sharing, that's Christ in you, demonstrating himself through you to us and his great love for us. Everything. That's why the 1 Corinthians 13 is written, the love chapter. And yet I show you a more excellent way, love. Everything works by love. Love is God's highest intention, his greatest purposes for us. And that's why these gifts are so valuable. The core of it is God's heart. Not only does he want to continue to build us up, but he wants us to be able to minister to the lost world. This morning, I'm going to pray this for you, that you change your mindset about the lost. I don't care who they are, what they do, how much you might like or dislike what you see going on, how you might feel alienated and untrustworthy, untrusting of the world, of the lost, how difficult it is to deal with some people. God still loves them. He doesn't love them emotionally. He doesn't like what they do. He loves them intentionally. That he has a design for their life that is superior to the one that they're living. Intentionally, if you will get that into your heart, that there is intent of God. He didn't love me when I was doing the thing. He didn't love the things I was doing when I was lost. But he loved me. He had an intention for me. That was supreme. And that's how we have to look at the world. The whole world. Because you're going to run into people who seem unlovely. Or you may not like what they do or how they live. But God loves them and has a plan for them that's greater. And if your heart is right, then you're going to be in more union with the Holy Spirit. And if you're more in union with the Holy Spirit, you can be more effective. Hearing him and obeying him. Amen. So, next week, God willing, I want to share with you something on following after him. There is a holy pursuit of God. You'll never know enough of him throughout your entire life, and including all of eternity. He's too big to know. As somebody said this morning, who was it, you, Josh? If we knew all about God, we'd be equal to God. Nobody will ever be equal to him. So if you want to know more of him, then you have to pursue him. We can never settle. So I want to talk to you about that, God willing, about having a holy pursuit for the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today, for all the things you did from the beginning right up now to this very moment, and to all the things you will do after we conclude this meeting. May your Spirit continue to be fully alive in us in such a way. Holy Spirit, we thank you for being present in us to empower us to do the things of Christ. We thank you. God, forgive us for missing so many opportunities. But we live and learn, and we are fully aware of your graciousness with us, your kindness, your gentleness, your forgiveness towards us, your patience with us, and the way you keep nudging us forward. It's more in your heart to reveal yourself to us than it is in our hearts to know more of you. So help us to want to know more of you, God. Today and always, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, dear?
Can I share Revelation?
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Well, whatever you want.
Voice thundering, and the Lord showed me that when I was, the voice was the song that he gave me at home, And then when I was here, I didn't know exactly what the Lord did, if I should share it or not. But my inside were shaking. And the Lord was just showing me that the thundering is within you. He's going to thunder within you, his voice as he speaks. And as, when I was sharing this song, my whole insides were shaking. So don't look for the thundering outwardly. Look for it inwardly, because it's going to come through you. And his voice is going to come out through you, thundering.
Amen. Thank you. That's good. The translation is thunder from the French Canadian to the English. I love you. Oui, oui. Amen. That's a good word, that the thunder is inside. That is really good. Amen. God, increase your thunder in us. You know, there were actually people who were called the sons of thunder. The sons of Zebedee were the sons of thunder because of their personalities. So I pray that there's a lot of sons of thunder coming alive in the body of Christ. Amen. All right, fellowship, share with one another, enjoy. Let God be God in you and through you. Amen.